I'm Jean Zekas.
And hey, I'm Ilika Follette. We are business owners and moms with corporate backgrounds, and we are all about getting Black women paid in both corporate and business.
And you're listening to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast.
Let's go. Hey, hello. Welcome to another episode of Getting Black Women Paid with me, Ilika Follette, and my friend here,
Jean Zekas.
Yes. So today we are talking about, of course, all of our topics around getting Black women paid, right? So today we're talking about, guess what? You can negotiate your salary and also your raises, right? So we feel like you just got to take what they offer. Well, they've offered me $150,000. It's way more than I was making at my last company. So I just got to take it.
Yep.
You know what? There's somebody right next to you who was making $170,000 doing the same thing. Mm. You get to negotiate that salary. And this, and the same comes with raises. You get to negotiate your raises. And let Teen tell you, you can even negotiate your severance. You, there is a negotiation in all these spaces. So, Teen, I want you to open this up because you were the queen of this, this piece of the conversation.
Yes. So I want to start with, you know, no matter what the offer is, you can negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. You should negotiate. And the way I think of it is, even if I'm offered something more than what I was expecting, imagine I take it and they offered the same thing to a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he negotiates. And now we come in uneven. And everything from there, your raise is a percentage of what you're getting. And so that gap just gets bigger and bigger. So for me, no matter what my expectation is, I say the same thing for every offer. I'm so excited. You know, thanks so much for the offer. I'd love to see a write-up of the benefits and look it over and get back to you. That way, it doesn't matter what my initial reaction is. I'm getting off that phone. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm kind of starting with like for a job offer, but I want to give an example. And I love that you brought up specific numbers because so often we don't share our salary numbers. And so we don't have a sense of what people are making.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was a point where I was making about 100,000 and I was looking for a parallel move. I was just looking for the same job title at a different company. And I was hoping to get up to 120.
Mm-hmm.
The company offered me 140. And so inside I wanted to be like, yes, thank you, you're done. Woo. You know, but I always say, right. Thanks so much. I'd love to take a look at the benefits and get back to you. And then I started doing the math. Well, you know, it's mid-year. What am I leaving on the table by changing jobs mid-year? I'm not going to get my 401k match. I'm going to have to start over on my deductible for my insurance. I'm not going to get, you know, my annual bonus, all these things. And I realized I'm leaving like $15,000 on the table just by leaving mid-year. So I brought that back to the new company, asked for another 15. They gave me 8. So now I'm starting at 148 when I originally wanted to be like 140. Yes, please. Right.
Right.
And when I got there, I talked to the other women engineers and they were making much less. So then when it came time for our annual increases, they had the knowledge. I know somebody's getting 148. And then they were able to get up to where I was, right? And all because of that initial, I'm not going to just take what the first offer is.
Right.
So that's the first thing. Just never take the first offer, even if you're excited.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, the first offer, they're expecting negotiation. So when you're coming in without negotiating, they're like, ooh, win-win. We just saved some money.
Right. You know? You are not a deal. This is not a bargain, right? You don't want them being like, woo, I can't believe we got all this labor for so little. And they're right. They're not coming at it with their top number.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you brought up the fact that, especially when coming into a company, right? If you come in, let's say you come in at 150 and Joe here comes in at 200, right? I'm doing easier rounder numbers, right?
Sure, sure.
So Joe comes in at 200. You came in at 150. Now, when it's time for for, let's just say, the annual increase before any additional raises or anything like that. Let's say the annual increase is, you know, 5%, right? That means that 5% of 150 is something like 7,500, I think.
500, yeah.
7,500. So now, and nobody's really getting 5% on the annual raise, but I'm just doing easy round numbers.
Right. Right. But so, his is 1,400.
Right. So his, yours is 7,500. That brings you from.
I'm sorry. His is 20.
Yeah. Yeah. It, no, it's 10,000. But
10,000. Those are round numbers. I'm like, what? Yes. Right. So he's getting
exactly my engineer brain.
1,500. Right. You're both getting the same raise.
Exactly. So now you can, your new salary for next year is $157,500, right? His new salary for next year is $210,000. Yep. And the year after that, that same 5%, his continues to go up. His is now $223,000 or something, right? Like that.
That gap is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger.
And yours is now $168,000. Eight, right. You know, it's like, this is not the same. And now you started at $50,000 difference. Now, after 2 years, that difference is something like $70,000. So if you don't negotiate at the beginning, then it could literally affect your numbers moving forward, you know? So that's why it's super important.
Yeah. And that's not to say that if you're in a situation where you did not negotiate, that it's too late and that you are now, you just need to be full of regret and shame and what have you, right? It's, we're talking about how to do better next time. And you can say when you get to a job, hey, I've been here 6 months. And actually, now that I'm more familiar with the responsibilities, I'd like to discuss my compensation again, mm-hmm. right? You don't necessarily have to wait for the 1 year review or what have you. You can say, hey, you know, it's been 90 days. And now that I'm seeing more of, now that I understand more of what's involved and what the responsibilities are, and I'm seeing what the comparable market value is, I'd love to rediscuss my compensation, right? So there's always, you can, there's not unlimited windows of those opportunities, but you can open windows. You can say, hey, we should talk about this.
Exactly. Yep. And looking at what that means when it comes to the market research and the market values, right?
Yeah, I want to get into that too. So even if you're looking maybe on Glassdoor and you put in your job title and your location and your years of experience, they're going to give you this range, mm-hmm. and they'll tell you what's in the middle. Exactly. I don't want you looking at any number below that middle. Why should their Black woman, whatever, be making less than average?
Exactly.
There's no reason. So for me, I'm looking 50th percentile to maybe the 75th percentile is where I'm saying that's my range of what is acceptable to me. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I start, right? Mm-hmm. I want to say like, oh, well, some people are making this amount, so maybe that's okay. No, there's no reason for me to, you are not average.
Right.
Especially, you know, that most of the Black women in their jobs are better. They have to be the best and the brightest just to be there.
Exactly.
Just talking about average pay, because we are not doing average work.
Exactly. Just like the father on Scandal said, remember, he said, remember, I told you, you do twice the work. Yeah. I mean, you got to be twice as good to get half as much. Right. Like, I remember, I would never forget that scene, you know,
but it plays out. And for me, I always say that, you know, we will have reached equity when there can be mediocre Black women just failing up like white dudes do. But in the meantime, know that what you're doing is exceptional. And you should be getting compensated for it. Okay. The other thing I want to talk about is non-salary compensation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times a company's going to say, hey, this is as high as we can go. Sorry. And then... But I like to approach the conversation as we're on the same team, right? I'm so excited to, you know, bring XYZ to the team, and I want to figure out how we can work together to make this work. And maybe that's changing what the annual bonus is. That might come from a different budget. Maybe it's a signing bonus. Maybe it's tuition reimbursement because you know you're going to be pursuing a certain thing, or even... if they have a program where you get tuition and reimbursement after a year, you can say, well, can we start that program? Can we skip that year requirement because I'm already in a program?
Yeah.
I once negotiated to have my maternity leave benefits start early, right? A lot of companies will say you have to work for a year before you can get that benefit. And I was already 6 months pregnant. So I'm like, hey, whatever. You know, I don't remember how pregnant, no. Pregnant enough that I wore a real baggy shirt to the interview because we hadn't yet discussed my negotiation terms. Right. But I did end up getting it, right? And so there are so many things you can do. I'm going to be working from home. So I need an office setup stipend. Right. I need you to pay my internet bill or my phone bill because I'm going to be using those for the job. There are so many ways that you can get compensated.
Yes. You could even negotiate more work from home days, right?
Absolutely.
You could negotiate more vacation days, right? So maybe they're coming in with that salary of $150,000. Maybe it's the highest they can go, plus, you know, 4 weeks of vacation. And now you're like, well, since I was looking for 180 and you said 150 as high as you can go, let's say 6 weeks of vacation.
Right.
You know,
right. And you got to think about what's important to you. Right. Exactly. And so if it is, you know, I can get by on 150, but I'm going to need some time, extra time traveling or extra time with my kids, or maybe it's, you know, I want to work remote 3 days a week, or I want to be able to have flexible hours so I can pick up my kids. You know, all of those things can be discussed in a negotiation, and it shows the company when you're getting creative with it, it shows them that you're trying to work with them, right? You're not just saying like, well, it's 180, take it or leave it. You're saying, okay, well, I want to make sure this is equitable. Let's figure out how we can get to it. And the fact that a lot of that money comes from multiple budgets can really be a benefit to you.
I just wanted to highlight something here. Note the words that I'm just noticing the words that you're using too. You know, like we're like, let's work together. I'm really excited about being here. So it's almost calming them down, right? Because we know that as Black women, we're constantly seen as aggressive, no matter what we do, right? We're saying, hey, and it's like, you know, like, come on, why are you getting away while I said it's hot? You know, and so because we're seen that way, using words and having a, you know, excited and at the same time somewhat calm demeanor and saying, hey, I'm really excited about this opportunity. I'd love to talk about how we can work together to make this work for the best of us. For both.
It also can help put you at ease, because if it's me against them, and they're this big corporation, and who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's intimidating. But if I'm like, hey, we're on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure it out. Now that doesn't seem as scary to me too, right? So I'm less intimidated and they're less intimidated, right? Because we're doing that win-win scenario. And then I think another important thing is, you know, as we're talking about the words that you're going to use, is practice saying it out loud. Say the numbers out loud, right? Because, you know, for me, I was a teacher, I was making $43,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first time I was offered 60, and I had to be like, oh, that's not going to work for me. Could we make it 68? I was like, I can't even say those words. It sounds ridiculous. You know, like, and so I had to say it out loud so that I wasn't stumbling over myself or you know, reining it in. Oh, well, but, or it could be 65. Like, just get a feel for the numbers and for the words that you want to say. You can even write out a script if you want. If that's going to help you make sure you cover everything you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And so practicing, get a script. But by all means, please, please negotiate.
Exactly.
And as you,
I was going to say, one of the things we also, even as we're talking about it, it reminded me of getting my first job in college, you know, my first job after college. And it was, you know, big, big company. And I'd interviewed with several companies, and this one company offered me a position. And I remember they offered 52.5. And I thought that I should be making 60, you know, even though, I mean, this is 2001. So I was very sure of myself, clearly, but I felt like since I'd done some internships, I'd gotten, you know, my degree was a cool one or whatever, they should be giving me 60. And I remember negotiating it, but in a way that was like, okay, you know, let's, you know, find a way to move it forward, get me up to 60, that sort of thing, like trying to have that conversation. And I remember he said, because sometimes folks will try and use these scare tactics, and so I want to bring it up. And remember he said to me, you know, well, if we bring you up to 58,000 and there's some layoffs, then the people with the higher salary is going to, you know, that's who we're going to look at first for the layoffs. And so what's funny is for me, what I heard is you guys do a lot of layoffs. I definitely did not take that job. I went to another company. So he lost me, right? But many times people will take that. And, you know, these scare tactics are used. So I would love for you to kind of highlight like what happens or in those situations, how to kind of stay calm and, you know, and move through there, right?
Love that. I love that. Because, right, what he was trying to get you to do is say, okay, well, let's maybe do 54. And I'm just, thank you so much. I'm just going to be so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
You, when you're interviewing for a job, you are interviewing the company.
Mm-hmm.
And deciding whether you are willing to give your services for a particular price.
Mm-hmm.
They need you more than you need them. Mm-hmm. If you can feel that and know that, then you can approach a negotiation willing to walk away.
Mm.
Obviously, that means you need to not be in a situation where you're desperate, right? So if you are desperate, you might need to just take it and be looking for the next thing. Right. Yeah. So it's not that, you know, in every moment you have to be coming at it from like, oh, I don't need this job, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But know that you are worthy of more,
mm-hmm.
and try to set yourself up to be able to go get it, even if it has to be somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we have all been that, and, you know, some have been in that situation where it's like, I guess I got to take it. I don't have anything else. Right. But here's the thing. And then we think that we have to be loyal.
You think you have to stay
in that company that you're at. Well, I've been at companies where, and I will say it was white men who did this, and it was always, I was always so shocked and amazed, but I thought, I guess this can be done. So I was at a company and I'd been working there for at least 2 years, and a guy came in, he was a project manager on the project that I was on. It was I think like an 8-week project, maybe 10 weeks. He joined the company a week or two before that project started. We were working together. It was literally just me and him on the project and the client and the client's team. So we're working together, really great guy. I had a great time with him. We talk, we connect, and then, you know, continue doing the work. And we were getting really good work done. 6 weeks into that project, he got another job and left. This man was at this company for 8 weeks. Now I'm stuck doing the project by myself and not at his level. He was definitely more senior than me. And I had to figure it out. And the partner and the people who own the project, I mean, who were the head of the, you know, own the contract, were like, hey, you got to figure it out. So I did. And we delivered it well. But the point was that he had no problem coming in and hitting the road. Right.
And the company figured it out.
Exactly.
He left and they were fine.
Yeah.
You maybe weren't. You maybe were stressed. But you don't need to be holding the hand of this company when something better comes along. Because guess what? If when they need to cut costs, they don't they don't care about your loyalty.
Exactly.
They'll let you go in a second and they'll replace you in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Or give somebody else your work without replacing you, which is even more likely. But that's not on you.
Yeah.
That person can leave too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
And you know what? When someone says in a job interview, why were you only at this thing? First of all, if you're only there 8 weeks, you don't even have to put it on your resume if you don't want to. But if they say, you know, why were you whatever? Oh, well, I was waiting for this offer to come through. It was so amazing. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't say no.
Yeah. And you really wouldn't have to, because if you got another offer after being at one company for 8 weeks, they're offering to you based on your last position.
Right. Exactly.
So, on your resume goes that next.
You don't have to explain a gap, right?
In 8 weeks, I took vacation. I spent time with my family.
Right, but I want to take some time between jobs.
Exactly. It's 2 months.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him, and let's take the lesson.
Exactly.
No reason to be loyal to a company.
Mm-hmm.
This is a contract. This is an exchange. You're providing a service,
mm-hmm.
and they are paying for that service.
Exactly.
Until they're not.
Exactly. They're not your family. They're not your, you know, and that's how we seem to feel. But yeah, you're paying for that service until they're not. And so that's where it comes to negotiating salaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't even get into negotiating raises. I think we're going to have to do another episode.
Ooh, talking about part two.
Yeah, we should do a part two about negotiating raises.
Because
that's key. And it's something that a lot of folks don't know about or talk about. So
absolutely.
We're going to leave you here. Okay. I know y'all are hanging on like, shoot, where's the raise part? But it's key. And it's an in-depth conversation. It's something we really want to get into. And we like to keep our podcast to about 20 minutes or less. And so in doing so, you know, we're going to go ahead and end it here with we've talked about how to negotiate your salary, total compensation, not just looking at, oh, dollars and cents only, and then how to create a conversation that goes back and forth. So it's, you know, it feels like a team decision, right? Because the best situation is making somebody feel like they made the decision.
They're like, oh, I'm so smart. I came up with this plan. I love it.
I came up with a plan to give her $8,000 more. That's all she wanted.
I love it. So yes, let's leave it there. Join us for the next one and we will see you in part two.
All right. See y'all soon.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast. If you want to hear more episodes like this one, subscribe wherever you're listening now.
And if you love what you heard, be sure to leave us a review. And make sure you share the podcast with incredible Black women in your life so we can continue getting Black women paid.
All right. We'll see you in the next one.